No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Ken Palm uses it too?
That's crazy.
No!
That's wild.
This is the Joe Gaither Show.
Not Kenny Pomeroy.
I trusted you, Ken.
Kenny, I was looking to look at your stuff today. Oh, Kenny, I want to know what about Illinois. That's tomorrow, I guess. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, that's the sound I wanted. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. How we doing today? It's the Joe Gaither Show on a Tuesday right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope you and yours are doing well. Goodbye, Twitter. And nobody's on Twitter. Everybody's gone. Elon is tanked the app. No, I guess it's a Cloudflare problem. But we're live on the Bama Central Facebook page, on the YouTube channel. You're listening to us on social, on Twitter. Oh, excuse me. It's thrown me all off. You're listening to me on Apple Podcasts, on Amazon, and Spotify, and the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're proudly presented by Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance, by Purple Turtle Roofing. Call Purple Turtle Roofing today at 877-787-6635 for all of your roofing needs. We're going to have a lot of fun with our friend Mason Woods. And Everett Osmer, ask and you shall receive. About 10 minutes away, Katie Windham's going to join us. Katie Windham's going to jump on and talk about this Alabama football team. Yeah, maybe give us some perspective on the basketball program as they have their next big opponent this coming night. This coming Wednesday night, they're taking on Illinois up there in Chicago. Oh, man, what a beautiful city. So they're going to be taking on Illinois tomorrow. Well, I was going to look at KenPom, but I guess KenPom uses the same server that Twitter uses, and so you can't check them out right now to figure out what's going on with Illinois. That's okay. We'll get more deeper into the Fighting Illini on Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. We want to thank everybody for joining us on the program today and remind you the program is brought to you by Purple Turtle Roofing. We're not just another contractor. We're your neighbor and your advocate when it comes to protecting your home, your business, with years of hands-on experience, top-tier certification, and a commitment to excellence. We've built a reputation as Alabama's go-to roofing solution. We specialize in residential roofing, commercial roofing, emergency storm repairs, full-on roof replacements, insurance claim support, and more. Call Purple Total Roofing at 877-787-6635. With that, Mason Woods, you did your normal Monday thing at the Home Depot. How are you? I know not great in the Titans land. Watch a game-winning kick from the Texans, but that might be great.
I mean, yes, at this point, let's just lose. That's fine. There's no hope for this season. I know that you're not going to convince a team of 50 some odd players to actually tank, but let's lose some football games. Regardless, though, right as you say that, the funniest thing, I'm seeing this tweet from Sunday. J.C. Latham is horrible, absolutely abysmal football player, no business on an NFL field. Now, I know I've had some choice words for J.C. Latham on this show because he has not had great moments this season. But he's picked it up the last few weeks. And he had one of his best performances like he's ever had as a Titan this past Sunday.
Blocking Will Anderson?
I don't remember what the exact stats were, but Will Anderson got like one pressure when he was matched up against J.C. Latham in this game.
There you go.
Now, there were a lot of penalties. Don't get me wrong. But penalties can be fixed. The skill and the technique is coming along, and I think it is almost there. That is one of the few positives to take away from this game. Cam Ward did throw a nice touchdown. I thought that was a nice drive at the end to tie it up there at 13. But yeah, no, the Titans continue to suck. Calvin Ridley broke his fibula.
Oh!
Yeah, that was a tough scene. So you are, I mean, not that he was doing a lot this season anyway, but you were, you know, down another receiver.
We don't like anybody injured, especially if they went to the University of Alabama.
Yeah, you hate to see that. I mean, I'm not going to speculate on whether or not the comeback will happen, but, you know, you have to wonder if maybe this is getting towards the end for him with such a serious injury. Hopefully not. Hopefully he can't come back.
Hate that.
But, yeah, no, J.C. Latham, one of his best games as a Titan.
Tightened up.
Anybody that didn't see that is incorrect. We can fix penalties. We can deal with that.
Tighten up. All right. Well, take us back to Saturday. We Theo and I went an hour and 5 minutes yesterday. You can find it on the Apple Podcast, the Spotify's, the Amazon's of the world. You can see it on the Bama Central YouTube channel if you want to hear all our thoughts. I went maybe crazy about the special teams. We'll readdress some of that in a minute. But what did you think about Alabama's loss to Oklahoma, 23-21, right there in Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Am I shocked? No. You know, this is something that we had kind of – I mean, I know I picked Alabama to win this game, but we had alluded that this could maybe happen throughout the week leading into it. Disappointed extremely, and maybe surprised in the way that it happened. I mean, I don't know. I felt Oklahoma kind of did the things that we expected them to do, put a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson, take away his ability to do the things that he does well. I saw somebody tweeted out yesterday, you know, scrolling through Twitter. I don't remember who exactly it was. So I can't give them credit.
It was me.
But basically, they pointed out that Alabama all season has played in like a 20-yard box on offense because you can't run the ball and you can't push the ball downfield. So it's like, all right, well, we got to hit passes that are like 8 to 15 yards. Figure out what you can do. And Ryan Grubb has been a genius at doing that. He's done an excellent job, I think, this season. Ty's been great at doing that this season. But you can't do the extra things, the pushing the ball downfield and running the ball. So your offense is unfortunately severely limited, and I think that has been exposed more and more and more the last 3 weeks, and Oklahoma finally had just the right plan to go out and win this football game.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. We'll go
is
back.
Is it time for a conversation about Ty Simpson? He was not the reason they lost this game, but I think we go back to the Florida State thing a little bit where it's like, not the reason they lost, but a reason they lost.
Right. He didn't play great. I don't think the interception was his fault, the pick six. I did ask Ryan Grubb yesterday about the wide receiver play, if the wide receivers were running good, crisp routes, being where they need to be. And he was like, yeah, they are. They're doing good. But I still, maybe, look, it's just my opinion, and maybe Ryan Grubb would disagree, but it's my opinion that Isaiah Horton did not run a great route, and you're seeing the other, you know, a different side of the coin saying, well, it's pass interference. I'm not quite sure it's pass interference. I think Isaiah Horton just sort of stopped. But yeah, Ty wasn't great. The offensive line, the guys, the coaching staff yesterday talked about how well the offensive line played, and I think the offensive line did play well. I just think the Oklahoma pressure package was confusing enough to where the protection wasn't always set correctly. So you look at the guys individually, the five guys individually, and I think that, left guard's blocking a man, right guard's blocking a man, center's blocking a man. You know, everybody's got their hands on somebody, but, the protection plan, right, exactly. The protection plan had it schemed up to where somebody else was let free. And a couple
whiffs from the running backs didn't help either.
Running backs can't pass protect to save their dadgum life. And all that to say is I think that Ty started to feel the heat of it and I feel like his game clock got discombobulated. I don't think his game clock has really been great all year.
I saw, and this is probably a bit of an exaggeration, but I did see the the people coming out of the woodwork this week to, you know, well, I've been low on Ty Simpson the whole time.
No, you haven't.
And the guy that I watch, who previously, and I've been following him for years, does pretty good NFL draft coverage. But, I mean, he gave him like a day three grade. He was like, this guy is a career backup in the NFL. And the way that he played on Saturday, I wouldn't disagree with you. Yeah. I think when you look at his whole body of work this season, he has done a lot of things that would lead you to believe that with the right system around him, with the right coach, he could succeed in the NFL. But I don't, like, he's not wrong to point out that the elite throws, we've not seen many of them.
Not really.
Ty Simpson this year. He's dominated the intermediate, but he's not really pushed the ball. I mean, you know, it's kind of the issues that, like, I was afraid about going into this season. Now, he fooled me a bit and alleviated my concerns by being so good at those 8 to 15 to, like, maybe 20-yard passes. But he hasn't been able to push the ball anything past that.
Yeah, I think that with what, 9 games, 10 games, 10 games, 10 games, 10 games. With 10 games played, you know, I go back to the first month of the season with, why did we play him over Jalen Milroe the last 2 years? And I think with 10 games played, you're kind of seeing, oh, he's got some skills, Ty Simpson. He's got some skills, and you can have an offense around it. Yeah. You can create it. But, I mean, compare the two fellas' deep balls. Jalen Milroe clears him by a wide margin as far as the deep balls go.
I think he is maybe a little closer to Mac Jones than people were than people were prepared to admit going into the season, where – you know, Mac needed that perfect system around him. He needed a Joe Moore award-winning offensive line, needed first-round receivers, first-round running back. And he was awesome with those pieces. I'm not going to sit here and discredit what he did in that year at Alabama.
Sure, it was amazing. Great.
But he had all of those things. And we thought going into this year, maybe Ty Simpson had a lot of those pieces. But evidently 10 games in, you don't have even close to that level of offensive line. You haven't gotten that from your running backs. And Jeremy Bernard has been really the only receivers that's looked like that level of guy. Maybe he is just a person who needs those weapons around him. I mean, everybody needs weapons, but you know what I'm trying to say here. Doesn't have it to do it himself.
Cameron Metzger, I'm kind of with Mason on this one from the Facebook side. I've been a Ty supporter all year, and yet he did make plays, but he also missed even bigger plays. On the final drive after the sack on second down, he missed Isaiah Horton wide open for a first down that could have extended the drive. That was a huge missed throw.
There's a few that he's just dirted to in the ground, short arming.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what it was talking about. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew I was seeing it in my head. I couldn't remember exactly who was going to.
It was like, three yards short, and he's hanging.
Yeah.
And if you bullet that bad boy in there, you're at third and one or whatever. Golly.
Yeah, so it's been, it feels like defenses are catching up to what Ty Simpson, you know, the first half of the season, it was like, all right, you know, this offense is really good. They're kind of humming a little bit, and now defenses have caught up a little bit to it.
Well, yeah, take you back to the South Carolina game plan. They're playing basically single high the whole day because they don't respect you getting over the top. And if you do beat us over the top, well, you're looking for a one-on-one ball that Ty Simpson's got to deliver. I mean, take you back to the first or second drive, again, Ryan Williams gets a deep shot and people are crying for pass interference that I do think was pass interference.
Yeah.
But it was a short-arm ball. He and Guillory are down the sidelines and they get tangled up and the officials see it as just like a tangle up and don't call pass interference. I think it was pass interference. Like most of these discussions, I thought that's not pass interference.
Yeah,
but this one was to me, you're just not getting down the field.
No. Unfortunately, I think that he may, and he still got time. Yeah, 2 games in the playoffs to prove us wrong here, but I think unfortunately he may just lack that ability to really effectively push the ball downfield. And I think Ryan Grubb has maybe realized that at this point in the season and is operating under the guise that we've got to get yardage in like I said earlier, 8 to 15 yard chunks because that's where our quarterback can operate.
So it should be exciting this week to see Austin Mack and Keelan Russell against Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, The first deep ball that one of them completes.
Oh, it's going to be the people are going to go nuts.
Come on. And Ty's going to start feeling it. Now, they would
not ever for this bench year, him right.
In that Auburn game for one of these quarterbacks, but I guarantee he'll start to feel it. They wouldn't? Bit.
Life on the line?
I mean, if you come down to it, sure. If Ty throws three first half interceptions, you're down, 14-0 going into half or something, get one of the young guys out there, see what they got. But I don't see that happening.
Katie's in the backstage. I'm about to bring her on, but have you looked at all at Eastern Illinois?
I haven't.
I haven't either. I just typed them in, and oh, buddy, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be disgusting. These guys are three.
Austin Mack.
3-8 right now. They're on a six game losing streak. Yeah, they're on a 6-game losing streak, losing to Garner Webb, Southeast Missouri, Charleston Southern, UT Martin, Ty Simpson's daddy's team. Ty's dad beat them 27-20, losing to Tennessee Tech and Lindenwood. Also losing to Indiana State and Illinois State early in the year. They have taken down Western Illinois, Tennessee State, and Dayton this year.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Just start Austin Mack.
Yes. Play all the freshmen.
Give Austin the first half, Keelan the second half. Tell Ty, hey, buddy, you had a tough loss last week. Take this one off.
Not that I think that he's done poorly, but give Caden Proctor the week off to play Jackson Lloyd. Because you're trying to develop Jackson Lloyd a little bit. All over the field. Look at the three inside linebackers. Hey, guys, you're all old men. None of you will be here next year. We have three young freshman linebackers. Just play them.
It's just like it's not like they're getting any real useful NFL tape. They're playing against, and no scouts are going to watch Deontay Lawson's Eastern Illinois tape and be like, look at this elite play. No, they're going to go to the Oklahoma. They're going to go to the Tennessee, whatever it is. So, there's just not really any merit to playing these guys in this game.
Keon Sab, take the week off. Let's see Ivan Taylor.
Yeah.
Right.
Thumper.
Let's get in. Let's make this week fun by manipulating the rosters a little bit. And let's make this show a little more fun by delivering Everett Osmer exactly what he asked for. And us, we're going to get a lot smarter. We got Katie Windham in the program today. You can follow Katie Windham at @KatieWindham_. Make sure that you subscribe to her podcast, Crimson Flame. Going to have a new episode this week. Cannot wait to see who is the guest this week. And I can't wait to catch up with Katie. Good morning, Katie. How we doing?
Good morning. I hope my internet lasts this whole time because I can't tell early so far when I was backstage if it was something on your end or mine. So but I'm on here for you though. So I hope it lasts long enough for you to get to watch a little bit.
There we go. Katie Lennon, we did about an hour and change yesterday talking about this Oklahoma loss. Mason's starting to give us his opinions as well. And I'll just ask you, you were there right there for BamaCentral.com in the Bryant-Denny Press Sox, and you got down to the field at a pretty good time. Just what'd you make of the first SEC loss of the season and Coach DeBoer's first loss in Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I'd said before the game that I didn't have a great feeling about that game for Alabama, and this is going to sound weird. If I thought they were going to lose, I did not think it was going to be that way. Yes, I thought it was going to be low scoring if they lost, but I didn't think it would be straight up that they beat themselves. I thought it would be, okay, they can't move the ball in Oklahoma at all. Maybe a turnover in there, but I didn't think it was going to be the defense. Basically, I thought John Mateer would rush all over them. They would have trouble stopping them. They would have a couple fluky touchdowns, which I guess you would say in a way they did, but not necessarily on offense. It wasn't like there was some Johnny Manziel touchdown out there, Ole Miss 2015 ball bouncing off somebody's helmet, an Auburn crazy play. It really was, I think, if one of the five plays of the three turnovers or the punt return or the missed field goal. I think if any of those five plays go differently, I think Alabama wins the game. And so in a way, that's a good feeling that you had to do a lot to beat yourself to lose to a top 10 team. But really the loss could not have come at a worse time as far as where it places them, because now we're here at the very end of the season. There's always recency bias in these things, which has helped Alabama to the fact that their Florida State loss has kind of gone under the rug. But Oklahoma is now always going to have to be ahead of them, because they just beat them. And so that's automatically bumping Alabama down a spot. So as far as getting in the playoffs, hosting a first round game, whatever, like Oklahoma now has to be ahead of them. Unless Alabama wins out, then gets to play in the SEC title and wins the SEC, then I think Alabama would move back up into a hosting spot or potentially a first round bye. But if, like, because, you know, there's been all the debates this week, which y'all may, well, y'all didn't really talk about this ton yesterday because I listened to the whole show. And I don't know if y'all talked about it yet today, but, like, there's been all the debates about, like, you know, should they just want to beat Auburn and then not have to play in the SEC title game? I think, depending on what happens these last couple weeks, you could be, like, should they be in if they're 10-2? Yeah. But, I mean, you're bumped down a spot automatically by losing to Oklahoma, even though it's kind of the square result that I've seen on Twitter of Alabama beat Georgia, who beat Texas. Wait, did Texas beat Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like you got this square circle, however you want to look at it, going on that, like, but because you just had that direct head-to-head of Oklahoma over Alabama, they're going to be over them in the CFP polls. And so, and I don't think they're a better team. I think they're, you know, a well-coached team and played and made the plays they needed to, but it's kind of unfortunate for Alabama that you'd been on this roll, but there's been things that we talked about that could catch up to them and did catch up to them against Oklahoma on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's kind of where I want to take the conversation today. It's what the college football playoff poll is going to look like and the SEC championship. I've got a friend group that is very conference championship games are stupid. They're pointless. And I've got people in this group where I said, look, if Alabama makes it to Atlanta, they're going to be in the college football playoff. Like it's pretty much, they're not going to, unless they end up pulling off what Iowa State did last week. Last year, Iowa State got destroyed in the Big 12 championship by Arizona State last year. All three of the major conference playoffs, except for you had 7 of the 8 conference championship participants last year make the playoff. You SMU, Clemson, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Penn State. Oregon, Penn State all made the playoff despite, you know, one team losing that weekend. Iowa State being the exception, losing to Arizona State. I think it was 45-19. Yeah, they got drummed pretty bad. And so if Alabama makes it, my opinion or my, you know, I feel pretty confident that if Alabama ends up handling business against Auburn and goes to Atlanta to take on Texas A&M, as long as you play Texas A&M respectfully, as long as you play them competitively, then you're going to be one of those teams. And you might be 12, you might be 11, you might be 10, whatever the case may be. But if you are there at 10-2, my opinion is they're going to treat that as kind of an exhibition and maybe help them, maybe treat that as clarification for seeding processes. So if Alabama, you beat them, then maybe you are hosting, you know, at 5-6, or maybe you're even sneaking in at 4. But I think that if you beat Auburn at 10-2, you're in the SEC championship game and you can make some sort of college football playoff plans.
Yeah, I think as far as your poll, your question of do the conference championships matter, I think exactly what you just laid out explains why it matters that you get there. I don't know if the result necessarily matters anymore. But as long as it's part of the formula that conference champions, the top four, automatically get in, to me, they still matter. Like, they don't matter in the same way that they used to, and that, like, say 2012, Alabama and Georgia are probably the two best teams in college football. They play in the SEC championship. The winner's going to play Notre Dame. The loser doesn't have a chance to do anything because that's the BCS. There's only two teams that get in. You think about Alabama and Georgia in, I guess, 2021 when – or no, because that's when Georgia won the title. Is it? Yeah. You think about some of the years –
you had lost to Texas A&M, and you're right there on the 4-5 line. Is that right? But basically, Mechie, that was the Mechie ACL game, and you beat Georgia pretty handily. Georgia was number one all year long. You beat them pretty handily.
But they still got in the playoffs. I was thinking of the year that Alabama was it 23 23 with Milroe when Alabama beat them, and then they didn't get in, and like they were back to back defending champs. Were they probably one of the best four teams? Yeah, but because they lost in the SEC title game, they weren't able to get in the 14 field. I think now with the 12 team field, basically, the committee kind of set a precedent last year with the SMU-Clemson thing that, like, they're not going to punish you for losing. And I think the committee said that. I mean, the committee chair said that last week, which I think already by this week we have a new committee chair because of some sort of scandal at Baylor. But they've kind of said, and then the SEC has for sure been laying the groundwork, the PR work of like whoever goes to the SEC title game is getting in. Because like I think Rodak, our colleague at Bama 24/7 tweeted something about like would Alabama not, and then Chuck Dunlap, who's kind of the spokesperson for the SEC, was like the strongest league in college football. Like, if a team makes it to the championship, they're not getting left out. Like, Greg Sankey, the SEC PR machine, all SEC ADs are definitely pounding the, like, if you get to the SEC title game, you will not be punished. And you will be in the college football playoff. Or, like, we are raising hell, like, burning it all down.
Yeah, well, Mason, like exactly on that track. Like, you cannot leave the two participants out. Because if you do, you'll start having the Lane Kiffin types who are pretty comfortable going out there saying we don't want to play in the SEC championship, we want to skip it, we want to opt out. You're gonna the next year have it devalued and be like, well, we'd rather take the week off and get the injuries that we have, the rest, this, that, and the other. Like, you have to put the participants in or the game will go away. The game will go away in some sort of it will be changed dramatically, or exactly like Katie said, you'll burn the whole thing to the ground and you'll say, we'll just make our own playoff. We'll have our own invitational. Like, these reasons, the money factor of the game itself in Atlanta and all the sponsorship ties and this, that, and the other, like, you have to reward the teams that play in that by automatically putting them in. That's why I think if Alabama, unless you lose by 28, what's the number? Unless you lose by 24, 21, like 21 might be right on the line, but 24, like unless you absolutely get drummed by A&M, then you're in the playoff.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement there.
Cause you can't mess with the money.
Yeah, that's priority number one in all of this. Let's not forget the money. That's really the only scenario I see where you could feasibly leave out the SEC runner-up is if they are just getting absolutely dominated in that game by three touchdowns, four touchdowns plus. Otherwise, you do have to put them in there because, like you said, it will devalue the game moving forward if a Lane Kiffin type is able to come in the offseason and say, well, I don't want to play in that game next year because it's not worth my time. Yeah, that is the last thing the SEC wants. So
LSU head coach Lane Kiffin.
Oh, golly. Mason, have you followed? Did you follow that yesterday? Just I know it was busy.
Yeah.
They told him you have to decide by the Egg Bowl if you're in or out. And I love it. It's like, and so he's going to say, no, I'm going to another job. And they're going to have an interim, like a one day interim coach for the Egg Bowl. Ruining their season. He apparently was in Gainesville. I don't know if that was fake news or not, but I know he was in Baton Rouge yesterday in Baton Rouge, kind of touring the city. And it's like, Lane, what are you doing, Lane? What are you like? And this brings up a different, but in the same category. Like, Katie, isn't the goal to get to a place where I can win a national championship, get to a place where I can get to the playoff consistently? Like, hey, I'm a coach. I want to be at an organization where I can get to the college football playoff. Well, Lane, you're there at Ole Miss. Like, yes, LSU history, Baton Rouge, Louisiana recruiting, this, that, and the other. But Florida has been bad outside of Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. And, of course, those highs with Spurrier and Meyer were at the highest of the sport. So, like, they're showing you it can be done. But Florida, outside of those two coaches, has really not been a great program. LSU, obviously, each of the last three head coaches, except for you, Brian Kelly, so three of the last four have won a national championship, Saban, Miles, and Coach O, go Tigers. So like LSU obviously has showed you, okay, we've got all the infrastructure there, but
they don't have to be a great coach.
But they've got so many politic issues right now, and like I don't really want to get into politics here on the show, but like they've got who's the president, who's actually running the school.
Yeah, I mean, who does the coach report to? Is it the governor? Is it the president of the university? Is it the AD?
You are worshipped in Oxford.
Yeah,
you can do. Hey, you can go do yoga on game day, coach. Game day morning. We love your son at Oxford High School. He's the starting quarterback. And oh, look at all your whole family. He just gets to walk wherever they want to. Ole Miss is set for you. Like, why are you? I don't understand flirting with these other two schools, Katie, when you've got everything that you need to succeed in Oxford.
Yeah, I mean, I think conversely, I would say, why are these schools so desperate to get a guy who's willing to do this in a season where his team's in this, like, on the verge of their first ever CFP, you know? And, like, I was listening to a National College Football podcast yesterday, and they said, like, with Ole Miss's win over Florida, like, they're in. They said, like, even if they lose to Mississippi State, they think they'll still be in. It's just kind of the difference of whether they get to host or not. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, the – like, what could he get that he doesn't have there would be, like, a little more resources, a higher salary, probably, even though I think Ole Miss would probably go all in on salary as much as, like, anyone else would. But I don't know. I think Lane is just Lane, you know? Like, he can't – he loves the allure. He loves being the center of attention. Like, he's, you know, supposedly found Jesus, stopped drinking, which, great, praise the Lord. Like, but I think he still has parts of his personality that, you know, he just – likes to be a little instigator. He likes to be a little mischievous or be the next big thing. I think it's been pretty well known that, like, he, you know, would love to have the Alabama job. I don't think that's ever happening under any circumstance just because of how his tenure was when he was in Tuscaloosa, even if he has changed now. That I think he's always, what's, like, the closest thing that's going to get me to Alabama? Like, Ole Miss is, like, geographically pretty close, but, like, prestige-wise is nowhere close to Alabama. This is just me, like, projecting on someone I have no, like, you know, I don't know him personally, obviously. But I think that's kind of, like, the allure of what job is this, like, this big Alabama? What will make me more like Saban? Where can I win a national title? Because, I mean, I guess Ole Miss could win a national title this year. Like, I really haven't watched them at all because they haven't played Alabama, and I feel like they just, whenever they've been playing on Saturdays, hasn't been good times relative to when Alabama's playing. So I listened to some of the end of their game on the radio when I was driving home on Saturday night from Bryant-Denny. But yeah, I don't know. I think he kind of just likes the allure of the next big thing.
Yeah, he just wants a nice fat extension from Ole Miss. You know, I think at this point, I mean,
you think Jimmy's pulling his strings?
Yes, he pulls the strings for everything. Jimmy is the puppet, Matt. He is the straw that stirs the drink in college football. Jimmy Sexton runs college football.
Why don't you go down and check out Baton Rouge for the day?
That's all it is. Lane, I think I agree. I absolutely agree with Katie with her assessment of Lane's personality here, that he is itching to be compared to the greats of college football. And he wants to be one of those, you know, and I'm sure he probably recognizes that LSU is a slight step up from Ole Miss in terms of maybe achieving that goal. But like what you said, Joe, like, he is a god in Oxford. They worship him there. All he has to do is show up in that office and put a number on a piece of paper, and they will pay him that money. I truly think that. Like, if we thought the way Tennessee treated him was bad, I don't want to imagine the way that Ole Miss would treat him in a homecoming if he does this. Because there would be so many things thrown on that field, unspeakable things probably. I don't think he's leaving. I think this is all just Lane Kiffin being Lane Kiffin, wants to stir up a little controversy, wants to get his name in the news. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if he stays at Ole Miss, it's all just more attention for Ole Miss.
So you're kind of leading me to what I'm concluding. I think that based on what Katie's comments are and on my own feelings and your own feel, this is all we're teasing. I'm not leaving. I'm leaving.
Ole Miss is on the same level as LSU. Yeah.
And the Thursday, Friday before the Egg Bowl, it's just hottie totty, gosh almighty, who the heck are we? You know, and gets them all excited.
Ride that wave right into a first round playoff disappointment.
Oh, God, no, Trinidad, no. Oh, unbelievable. Yikes. So, Katie, I guess this leads us to where we really need to recenter ourselves here. After losing to Oklahoma with the offensive issues that Mason kind of discussed before, as we got going here, basically playing in a 20-yard box, how are we feeling? Night game. They put out the time yesterday at noon, 6:30. So the sun's already going to be going down. Thank you, daylight savings time. 6:30 in Jordan-Hare Stadium. What are we thinking here? Kalen DeBoer's first trip to the Plains. Interim head coach. No, Hugh Freeze, but maybe that works in Auburn's favor. Ashton Daniels not playing this week, so they'll have all three quarterbacks ready to go, ready to keep their red shirts, but play Alabama and ruin their season.
Keldrick Faulk, big-time defensive end, probably a top 12, 15 prospect in the NFL draft. Keldrick Faulk to the future Chicago Bear, please. What are we thinking here going down to the Plains with the playoff lives on the line?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to have 2 weeks to be getting ready for this. Yesterday, shout out Chick-fil-A Northport West. They gave me a special Iron Bowl Chick-fil-A Alabama cup with my mobile order. It says Rose in the Iron Bowl or something like that. So Chick-fil-A is counting down to the big game. I'm sure all Alabama fans are with bated breath as well. They can't wait for this night game opportunity in Jordan-Hare. I think it's really – it obviously – well documented how poorly Nick Saban did there. Like, not like wins and losses wise, yes, like he lost there more than literally anywhere else as the Alabama head coach. And then the last two trips down there, Alabama won, had to go to 4 overtimes against a 500 team. And then last time had to have the fourth one against another 500 ish team. So, and you just think about the players Alabama had on both those teams, what was on the line, and they still could barely win those games. I think about that 2021 game, like that was Bryce Young's Heisman season. And he had just been cooking defenses all year long. And they, with a minute left in that game, they had 3 points. Like it was just, that one was honestly probably the most bizarre to me. It just didn't make sense. Like the way Alabama was struggling. But anyway, besides the point, I'm interested to see if, like, all that kind of stuff, is that going to carry over into the DeBoer era of this being such a spooky place to play? Or is Alabama just going to go out and play good? Like, the thing is, though, this Alabama team, especially on offense, has not really played great for multiple weeks in a row. So, like, I heard y'all talking before I came on about, like, playing, just starting Austin Mack, starting somebody else at left tackle. I think you need to see – and you also talked about how bad Eastern Illinois has lost 6 games in a row. I think you need to see if you can run the ball against Eastern Illinois. I think they have not been able to run the ball since basically the Vanderbilt game. You know, it's like, and you're facing a way inferior opponent. Like, can you, no disrespect to Eastern Illinois, but like just factually, like talent-wise, size-wise, they are way inferior to Alabama. Alabama's a top 10 team in college football, Eastern Illinois is FCS. Like, you're literally not in the same division. Like, can you run the ball? Can you move the ball? Can you pass the ball down the field? Like, because, yes, the DBs won't be as talented or as big as the ones you're going to face in the SEC, but still, can you throw the ball 30 yards down the field with accuracy when Jeremy Bernard's wide open? Are you going to hit him this week? Or, you know, so, like, I think you need to work on those things before the Iron Bowl. I think it's, in a way, a good thing that they have this type of opponent before Auburn, which it's been like this for many years now, except for last year when they played Oklahoma right before. But, yeah, I don't like, because, yeah, like literally the playoffs, their season will be on the line. Kalen DeBoer, his job won't be on the line, but it'll be crazy if he goes from second seed year in a row heading into November in a great spot for a first round bye and then losing games you should not have lost and finishing the regular season 9-3. Like his seat will be, which is what I wrote on Saturday, will be very warm if, I don't think they would fire him at the end of the season, but I think heading into next season, it would be very warm. Fans would be pissed the hell off, all the way off, if they lose to Auburn and finish the regular season 9-3 and don't make the playoff, especially just after the spot they were in. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, we'll have to see. DeBoer told us. He told us right after the game on Saturday. He told us yesterday on Monday. He knows the character of this team. He's confident in their response. So we'll have to see, really, the response. Can they go down there and just handle business? That's something – playing on the road and playing inferior opponents is two things they have not been good at under the DeBoer era. And then you add on the Jordan-Hare factor, the spooky factor, the Auburn has nothing, like everything, like nothing and simultaneously everything to play for. Like there is a lot working against Alabama in this game, but can they overcome all that and just prove why they do belong in the college football playoff? Because I think they have, which I wrote this, I think after the LSU game, they have a defense that's championship caliber that can win the playoff games. I feel like they have some of the pieces on offense to be that too, but have not been good on offense the last couple of weeks. So like last year, if they would have made the playoffs, if they would have snuck in that, if the Clemson SMU game, the way it did, they got in that 11 spot, I don't know if they would have won a game. That team just did not seem to be in a good spot at the end of last year. I think this team can win games. I don't know if they can win a national championship, but if they put all the pieces right at the right time and everybody's playing their best, I think they maybe could. So, I think this is a playoff team. They just need to go out there and prove it these next 2 weeks.
Mason Woods, how many yards did the UT Martin Skyhawks put up on Eastern Illinois on the ground? Ty Simpson's father's team rushed for how many yards against Eastern Illinois?
250.
Woo, good job. 225. 225. So the last handful of games in the six-game losing streak, Garner Webb, the running Bulldogs, rushed for 251, winning 21-10. You had the Southeast Missouri State Redhawks rush for 111. They passed for 283 in a 42-13 victory. You had Charleston Southern Buccaneers. They rushed for 61 but passed for 280. In a 17-16 win. We just told you UT Martin Skyhawks 225 on the ground in a 27-20 victory. You have Tennessee Tech Golden Eagles rushing for 157 in a 21-9 game. And then Lindenwood Lions, the most recent game, the Lindenwood Lions rush for 200 yards on the dot. 489 total yards offensively for Lindenwood and a 42-12 victory. I think Katie brings up a great point of get the starters out there and start to figure some of this stuff out.
Yeah, you kind of have to run for 200 plus in this game.
I mean,
anything less and it's going to be like this run game still sucks.
Yeah. If they come out and go 3-and-out on the first possession against Eastern Illinois, the Boo Birds for what I bet will not be a very large crowd. Will be out.
Mm.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
All right, so I want to remind everybody that we are live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios. If you have tickets to get rid of, I do have some listeners that are looking for three at least. If you have tickets that are, look, you're not going to make that much money on this game, so you can give your three tickets away to a family that will be cheering the entire time. Ooh, I just got another Twitter notification saying it's up and down. They will be cheering the entire time. So if you got three tickets, we are looking for them for some Joe Gaither Show listeners. I appreciate everybody who listens to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. You can find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We want to tell you guys that we are brought to you by Purple Turtle Roofing. And we'll hear from Brax Garrison tomorrow. He's going to join us tomorrow and tell us how difficult it is to set protections when you have six guys on the line of scrimmage like Oklahoma did this past week. At Purple Turtle Roofing, we're not just another contractor. We're your neighbor and your advocate when it comes to protecting your home and business. With years of hands-on experience, top-tier certifications, and a commitment to excellence, we've built a reputation as Alabama's go-to roofing solution. We specialize in residential roofing, commercial roofing, emergency storm repairs, full-on roof replacement, insurance claim support, and more. Call Purple Turtle Roofing at 877-787-6635 today. They'll come out and give you a free roof inspection, let you know what you got going on with your roof, if you're good to go for the next handful of years, and they'll take care of you, make sure that you have the peace of mind.
mind that you deserve when you walk into your home. Call Purple Turtle Roofing at 877-787-6635. We're hanging out with Katie Windham right here on the Joe Gaither Show, and we want to remind you to follow her program, Crimson Flame. You had Kat Rogers on this past weekend, an episode with your father the week before, talking about getting your daughters into sports. So if you are a girl dad, you do want to be checking out Crimson Flame. Head coach Christy Curry on the week earlier. So the last 3 weeks, great episodes. Alabama women's basketball winning again last night. So taking care of business. Katie, how you been feeling about Crimson Flame so far?
Yeah, it's been going well. It's sometimes the logistics of getting it all together can be tough, but it's fun. And I've gotten some good feedback. People have enjoyed it. It's been fun kind of connecting with some former athletes that get to share their story, because really a lot of these, you know, women's sports athletes didn't even necessarily get to share their story when they were an athlete. So I think they're enjoying getting to do it now. And it's cool to hear. I think, like, you know, Mason covers recruiting for football and basketball for us and for some of the other Honest Eye sites. And so I think people know about the recruiting of those sports. And I think they don't necessarily always realize that a swimmer at Alabama, a rower at Alabama, a women's basketball player, I guess they know that because it's basketball, soccer, that they were recruited too. They went on an official visit. They had somebody come scout them, you know, like all these talented athletes on campus have a story and a reason kind of why they came to Alabama. And actually the episode that's going to come out tomorrow is going to be with an international athlete. And it's interesting to hear how they get here. Cause it's crazy to me that really if you go look at the rosters of the track and cross country team, the swim and dive team, the tennis teams, the men's and women's, you're going to see countries from literally all over the world that, like, we have that here at Alabama, and a lot of schools all over the country and the SEC do. But it's pretty crazy how people from all over the world come to our backyard here in Tuscaloosa. So hopefully I'll get to share more of those stories this year.
Absolutely. So make sure you check out Crimson Flame on all the podcast platforms, right where you get the Joe Gaither Show. Crimson Flame on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Amazon. And if you want to watch these interviews, you can see them on the Bama Central YouTube channel. A lot of you are joining us on the Bama Central YouTube channel each and every day, watching the press conferences, this, that, and the other. And so Crimson Flame is the best new addition to the Bama Central YouTube channel. Mason, you got any other football topics for Katie before we spin her into basketball? Just a few more minutes left on the program today.
No, I think we've about tapped it out. I think we got to the root issue of this Oklahoma loss pretty well.
Oklahoma with a win.
Alabama, I mean, we know what Alabama has to do to finish the season out. I don't believe that they need any help other than just winning out to get into the SEC title game.
Yeah, they're going to be at what? 10-11 tonight, 9-10-11 tonight.
Yes, probably, I would imagine.
There are still a couple other like scenarios where they don't get in the SEC, even if they win, but it's the most likely outcome.
Yeah, doesn't Florida have to beat Ole Miss? No, Ole Miss is done.
Yeah, I think I did see something.
It's not about the like other one loss teams.
Like, Florida has to beat Tennessee.
Other teams at the bottom, like, and who has the highest. Like conference win opponent percentage, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Florida has to beat Tennessee this weekend, so I'm going to say
that would be bad for Alabama because then Tennessee would have a worse record, and Tennessee's opponent, not Florida.
Ole Miss and Georgia both played Florida, right? And Alabama didn't. The other programs need Florida to raise their level a little bit.
Saying for Alabama to not get in.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
So if you are an Alabama fan, got some bad news for you. You've got to say go Josh Heupel and go Tennessee. If Tennessee wins and Alabama wins the Iron Bowl, you're basically there.
And I think you need Vanderbilt to beat Kentucky, which they should. Kentucky's bad.
Yikes. Well, Katie, you were in Coleman Coliseum on Thursday, and we don't need to rehash the entire rebounding issue against the Purdue Boilermakers, but Alabama's back at it against Illinois tomorrow. They're going to take on Illinois in Chicago. Illinois 4-0. KenPom still down. Illinois, they beat Illinois State, Jackson State right there in Mississippi, Florida Gulf Coast, and Texas Tech and Colgate. I guess one of these was an exhibition. So they're 4-0 officially on the season. They've won five of these games because I just said five opponents. I guess this Illinois State was an exhibition. What do you see from this basketball team? Obviously not fully healthy. We're going to hear from Coach Nate Oates today. That'll be, oh, KenPom is up. Great. You're going to hear from Nate Oates a little bit later today, previewing this Illinois game before they take off. Illinois is number six in KenPom. Obviously, this early season, not enough analytics to really affect things, but six in KenPom, third in offense, 16th in defense. Alabama has fallen all the way to 20th with their loss to Purdue. I think they were up to like 17 or so only a couple of spots. Just what are your early overall thoughts on this Alabama basketball team? Big win against St. John's. Don't have Keaton Bristow. Lost Collins on Onyedziaka. Still don't have Jahlil Betheo. What are your thoughts on this basketball team?
Yeah, I think they kind of showed us against St. John's what they can be and how special this season can be and that they can compete with anyone in the country. And then I think Purdue, it's like almost the reverse Oklahoma football game where like Alabama did play worse and was the worst team but had an opportunity to beat the number two team in the country at home. I think I talked about this on our court side after the games, not to be too repetitive, but Nate really challenged some players after the North Dakota game and they responded against St. John's. He again challenged them in the post game after Purdue about the rebounding. Obviously, he was not happy with that at all. And so we'll kind of see how they respond this week against Illinois. I think this game, which honestly, I'm not even positive I'm going to get to watch, but I think this game will kind of show us what this team is made of. I think maybe there's some guys that still aren't fully bought in into the how blue collar basketball is and is supposed to be and don't fully get it, which is funny because I kind of wrote about that before the game on Thursday. I asked Nate about that, about if it's hard, if it takes guys to kind of time to learn the effort that's required, that it's not an instant, because he was saying like there, what they think is a 10 out of 10 in effort is really a 6 out of 10. And like, we got to get them all to 10 out of 10s. He said that before the game. And then I think obviously you did not see 10 out of 10s in effort from some guys against Purdue. And so I think maybe that's just something that's going to take some guys some time to learn. I think what you said about getting some of the injured guys back is going to help. Their depth has been pretty thin in the front court. So getting Bristow back, even though they lost Collins, I don't know how much he was going to play a huge rotational role once they got, you know, into SEC play anyway, but I think that'll help. And yeah, I think they'll be a top 25 team all year and can kind of make some noise in the postseason, but obviously got a long way to go and a lot to watch for this team moving forward.
I'm with you with Collins not being unsure about what his role was going to be. I kind of thought he would max out at maybe 6 minutes at the two or three minutes in the first half, 2 or 3 minutes in the second half, but still gives you another body. I'll ask you, do you have any gut feelings or whispers about Collins, not necessarily his specific medical condition, but if he's going to be back some point this season?
I don't really, I have not heard anything, and I don't have a, because when coaches just say something like that,
so vague.
Yeah, it can mean like literally so many things. So, and I haven't heard anything, so I don't know.
Right. It could be just the tiniest thing and be a week, but it could be something really scary and major and could be, ugh. I don't want to think about that. Yeah, awful. Nathan, Alabama playing at 8 o'clock on FS1 against Illinois. Another major opponent as they get this non-conference season going. Just your what you want to see or what you want to what should we ask Coach today? Because we're actually going to hear from the football players here at 11:15, and we'll hear from Nate Oates about 11:45.
I mean, I think everybody would be looking for a Keaton Bristow update probably. Just want to know what his status is, when we're going to get him back, because I think he will change the way that we think about, or it maybe change the way this team looks a little bit. Just add a little bit more physicality, add a little bit more size.
A little more dirt.
But like that right there is what I want to see from the team. You know, I think basketball is like, Kate, you know, she mentioned like the gelling and kind of getting guys to learn and buy into the effort and everything. I think basketball is a little more unique from like football in a sense where you bring in new guys and they are so much more immediately impactful than they are in football, just because they're like Taylor Wallbone is immediately a starter basically, you know, and like this guy was not here last year. And I know he had all the summer to get associated and everything, but there's still, it takes time to learn once you get into true game speed. And I think we'll see that as the season progresses, but yeah, I just want to see more. I want to see everybody on this team play the way that like Davion Hannah plays, you know, just dog out there. Mari Allen has also been kind of that way this year. I just want to see more dirt.
What was the basketball news on the recruiting front? Alabama lost a commitment yesterday. Yeah. Just kind of we didn't address that at all. What ended up happening yesterday on the recruiting front? Because you're still in the early signing window. You're looking for signatures. Caleb Holt, where are you?
Yeah, the early signing window will close tomorrow, actually. So you still got 24 hours to sign Caleb Holt if you do so, have the ability to. I think, and I mentioned this in the article I wrote last night, I think we're probably going to get a decision from him in the spring. But, you know, as I understand it, Alabama is still in pretty good standings. He's been here twice this summer, this fall. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, Alabama does lose out on four-star small forward Chris Washington Jr., officially announced his decommitment last night from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Had been committed, I think, since April of this year. 6'8", four-star prospect, held offers from a lot of really top high-level programs, Villanova, Auburn, Michigan, the list goes on. I don't know. I have not talked to anybody on the staff, but the inkling, the suspicion seems to be that this is maybe opening the door for other players that Alabama is targeting this recruiting class, notably the player Caleb Holt that we just mentioned, as well as another five-star, Caden Samuels, who is a guy that was here for an official visit, I want to say in September, maybe October. Haven't really heard a lot since then from what's going on with him. I think maybe this could be something that opens the door for him to maybe either sign or, you know, just confirm his commitment kind of going forward. I wouldn't be too concerned, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here.
There we go. So, Nato, it's obviously always working and scheming the portal, the recruiting, to try to make sure that Alabama has a very, very, very competitive roster.
You have signed one player from this class, Terrace Bowie, another small forward, another four-star player. So, you're not hurting at that position in the 2026 class.
Well, Katie, let's start finishing this thing up today by spinning us forward to what we're going to talk about with some players. We don't know exactly who we're going to get today, but will the tone be more with the Alabama football players? Will the tone be more what went wrong against Oklahoma, or how do you spin it forward specifically to Eastern Illinois, or will you get some people already asking about the Iron Bowl?
I mean, there's people asking about the Iron Bowl in postgame, so... Oh! I think there definitely will be today. I think, and then they'll say, "Oh, we have an opponent this week." I mean, they're not, which it's tough because I understand why people ask, because that's what people really care about. But like, you also know, like, they're not gonna say anything. Like, they are so media trained. Like, they're not gonna give you the soundbite you're looking for. They're not gonna give you the quote you're looking for. Even the players that are from in-state that hate Auburn are not gonna say something today. So, it's definitely gonna be a different vibe than like the week after the first loss to Florida State, because that was like a lot of people questioning their effort. Like, they played bad, they played poor on offense and defense. This week it wasn't necessarily poor play. In fact, on defense, it was actually pretty great play. And so
yeah, Deontay Lawson after the game, basically, yeah, we dominated that game. Ooh, yeah. Okay. And he's not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, which I wish I had my notes in front of me exactly what Kane said, but like basically their one mistake was the Mateer touchdown, which, like, I mean, that ended up costing them. You know, you lose by 2 points. You don't want to give that up. But like, it's not necessarily realistic to expect a defense to not give up any touchdowns an entire game against an SEC.
From the 20-yard line. You were put on the 20-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the positions they were put in over and over again, to only give up one touchdown is pretty dang good. I think but you can't really ask the players this week either the cop-out question of what have you seen from Eastern Illinois, because, like, I don't think they're spending probably a ton of time watching film or scouting them, because they've lost 6 games in a row. You know, maybe Ty called his dad to get the Eastern Illinois scout. Didn't work so well with the scouting on VOU from Arch, but – maybe his dad can give him an early scout of.
Yeah, you think Arch gave him bad information?
No.
He knew Texas was going to lose this weekend, and he would need that playoff spot to maybe be open.
Both Arch and Ty lied to each other. Oh, unbelievable. So we'll talk to the players here in just a little bit. We appreciate Katie Windham giving us her morning. You can follow Katie Windham at @KatieWindham_ on the Twitter machine. Follow Crimson Flame. The newest episode is going to be dropping tomorrow with an international athlete. How did an international athlete find Alabama, or how did Tuscaloosa find them? So lots of great episodes featuring women's athletics. She's going to give you the scoreboard update and more from the women's athletics. Alabama women's basketball winning again, undefeated already in this early part of the season. We'll see if they can build some momentum and get themselves in good position for postseason play. But that's still a long way away. Make sure you follow Crimson Flame wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow Katie Winham at BamaCentral.com. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Katie, thanks so much for your time today. Tell Everett goodbye, and we'll see you here in just a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. Everett, I hope you have a great day.
Absolutely. That's Katie Windham joining us right here on the Joe Gaither Show on a Tuesday. We cannot wait to catch up with her in just a little bit over in the Malmore Athletic Facility. And we'll have a lot of fun with some Alabama football players and head coach Nate Oates before they go up to Illinois for this basketball game. Mason Woods? Any more thoughts? Anything from the weekend that we left undone, untouched for you?
I do have one thing. Got to give a shout out here to the Alabama commits that made the list on the top performances.
Oh yeah, let's hear it. Yeah,
Xavier Crowell. Look, he's been incredible all season. I don't believe he's gone under 100 yards a single time this year.
But he barely touches the ball, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it like two carries, 140 yards a couple weeks ago?
This week was 14 rushes.
Okay.
350 yards, 4 touchdowns. Jackson won its second round playoff matchup, 48-28. They'll play on November 21st in the third round of the playoffs. It's just unreal. You can go to the article on Bama Central. You can find it. There's a clip in here from the game of him taking a 51 yard touchdown to the house. The kid, I mean, he's just incredible. And like, it has been forgotten, I think, by a lot of people that he reclassified. He should be a junior in high school. He's going to be special. He is already special. I can't wait to see him get on campus. And then as well on this list, Jet Tamala continues to be amazing. Set a Nebraska playoff record with 463 yards and 7 touchdowns this past week. I think this was maybe the most he's played in a game all season. I think he played it maybe a little bit more than the first half. He just continues to be incredible. Trent Seaborn as well led Thompson to a win this week. Great game for him, 15 of 16 for 262 and 4 touchdowns. All of that came in the first half in their game. So 3 great performances there. I will be tracking these guys as they move on through the playoffs. Jet Tamala actually playing for a state championship this week, so we'll see if he can bring it home.
There we go. You put this on your radar, Mason. You've got state championship games win December 4th and 5th. They'll be in Birmingham. So if EJ Crowell plays in Birmingham, go ahead and I'm not telling you what to do, but you may want to reach out to the AHSAA and get Mason Woods credential for those title games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun the rest of the day on the Bama Central YouTube channel. As we said, with the players, you'll hear three to seven Alabama football players, and they'll be talking about the loss. They'll be talking about how to move forward, this, that, and the other. You can see those videos on the channel, and then we'll follow it up with an interview with a press conference with Nate Oates before they take off to go to Chicago to take on Illinois. And we'll have a better breakdown of Illinois tomorrow. I'll watch some of these games. I'll find them on YouTube and kind of give us a better piece. Number what? 6 in KenPom, 4 in KenPom. Is that what I just said? So top 10 team. Yeah, 6 in KenPom. But I'll try to figure out if that's how real that is. Adjusted tempo, 69th in tempo. Their strength of schedule is at 225 compared to Alabama, which is at 19. So we'll see how real the Fighting Illini are tonight as I watch a little bit of YouTube on them. And we will get you ready for that tomorrow morning on the program with Brax Garrison. Brax will talk quarterback play. A lot of people blaming Ty Simpson. Mason starting to discourse a little bit. Is Ty what we thought he was after the first couple of weeks? I don't think it's that wrong, honestly. I'm not pushing back on you, really, because I think he's got a lot of good. But there's a whole portion of the pie that's left to be desired, in my opinion, on Ty Simpson. So we'll talk about that with Brax Garrison tomorrow on the program. Big thanks to everybody watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Check out Purple Turtle Roofing. Call them at 877-787-6635 for all or free roof inspection today.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at Joe Gaither 6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.